Good evening, everyone. We're glad to have all of you that are visiting with us tonight. We have a lot of visitors. We're glad that you're here. We welcome you and want to invite you to come back. Deanie, if I had a camera, I'd take a picture of all of your family up there, right there, right here. But we're really happy to see all of you, and we appreciate so very much that you're here with us tonight to study the Word of the Lord. We enjoyed this morning being together on Mother's Day, and I hope that you've had a good Mother's Day. And if you haven't done so yet and you still call her, she lives a distance from you, be sure to do so. But as I mentioned this morning, let us remember, even in our thoughts and our prayers to God, how great and wonderful it is to have a good mother, and if she's gone already, to tell others a lot about the things that your mother did for you. Tonight I want to think with you about thinking. We find in the Apostle Paul, as he's writing, he uses the word finally, that is, in conclusion. After he said so many other things, notice what he instructs the Philippians. Finally, brethren, talking to brethren, I want you to know this. Finally, brethren, pay attention to this. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, that's a good thought. Things that are right, things that are true, whatsoever things are honest, be honest. Whatsoever things are just, equal, right. Whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise. Now notice what he says to all of us. Think on these things. We think, but what things do we think about? If you look at this list very carefully, you can see it covers a multitude of things that surely we need to think about. And I ask the question, but do we? Are we really thinking of those things that are true? And those things that are honest? Those things that are just or pure or lovely and of good report? Surely God has told us and instructed us what we are to do so that we can be right, that we can be have happy lives and truly pleasing to the Lord. Paul, when he was writing to the Romans in Romans chapter 12, in verses 1 and 2, he says, I beseech you, brethren. Now notice again. Finally, brethren, and now notice here. He says, I beseech you, I plead with you, I beg you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Do what, Paul? Use that body. Let it be a sacrifice unto God. A living sacrifice which is holy, acceptable unto God. That's your reasonable service. Use what God is giving you to bring honor and glory to God. Don't be conformed to this world. A lot of us want to be like the world. We just have to admit it. And yet, Paul is telling us, I want you to do some thinking. He says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Doing what now, Paul? Renew that mind. Get that mind in control. Think on those things that he has mentioned already. And he said, by renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We can know the will of God, but we got to study the Word of God. We've got to understand what God says to all of us. And truly, we want to be acceptable unto Him. And my question is, let's see, are we really doing that? Is that really what we're doing? Doing everything we can not to be like the world? But we want to be shining lights for the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Thinking on those things that will make us the kind of people that God wants us to be. The wise men in the Old Testament, in Proverbs 4, verse 23, he says, keep thy heart with all diligence. The heart is so important. Out of the heart proceed, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 15, evil thoughts and those things that will condemn us. But he says, now you keep that heart, for out of it are the issues of life. Are you keeping, and you and I keeping our hearts attuned to God? The only way we're going to be able to do that is to think on those things that Paul mentions to the Philippians in Philippians 4, and verse 8. Now I want to confess to you tonight, one of the hardest verses when it comes down to me personally is this verse. And when Paul writes it, and I'm looking at it, and I tell you what, I have a challenge. Do you? Look what he's saying carefully. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. And here it is. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I tell you what, when I was studying and looking at that verse, I said, I have to work on this as I do every day. Do you? I mean, when you stop to think about what Paul is saying here, let every one of your thoughts be in subjection to the obedience to Christ. We worry a lot. Do we think about other things that causes us kind of be distracted from our main goal, and that is seeking first the kingdom of God? I do sometimes. And boy, I mean, I have to work on that. Bringing into captivity your thinking to the obedience of Christ. We have a good example, don't we? Hebrews 5, 8 and 9. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things that he suffered, and being made perfect. Oh, there it is. Being made perfect. Yes, Jesus Christ is the one who is indeed perfect. And yes, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things that he suffered. Being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. And let's just face it. It's going to take a lot of thinking. It's going to mean that we've got to control our thinking. And as Paul said to the Corinthian brethren, bringing every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Here's the thing that really helped you and helped me. Every day, just like these children, this young children's class, Matt, I don't know how you've done it, but you've done such a tremendous job in teaching them verses of Scripture. Did y'all listen to those children tonight? Wasn't that fantastic? I wonder if we used all those same verses and we had time for all of us adults, how many of us would be able to fill in those blanks? And these little children over here, isn't it great to hear them? You and I, when we were younger, remember we were in these classes? And that we did. We memorized those Scriptures. And these children are doing that, and that's so wonderful. Because the Scriptures are going to do what? It's going to teach you and teach me, teach all of us. Our affections is on things that are in heaven. We got our hearts set on those things where we're going to someday be with our Lord. Paul writes about that to the Colossian brethren. And Paul said, set your affection on things that are above, not on things on the earth. We go out. I go to yard sales. I go to estate sales. We go out and see different things, and all those things are great. We like to be with other people and enjoy that. All within itself, so long we do not violate time and effort. It's good, but remember this. All these things that we have, all of them, are just things. And look what he says to you and me. Do some thinking. He said, set your affection on things that are above, not on things on the earth. For you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. That's what we want. We want to be able to appear with Christ when Christ comes in all of his glory. Why and how can we do it? Think. Get your mind right. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Put all those things out. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 15? A man is what he's thinking. For out of the heart proceed these things that are evil. What do you and I love most tonight? As a preacher of the gospel for so many years, what is it that is my greatest love? As a Christian, you, brothers and sisters, what do we love more than anything else in the whole world? I hope and pray that we can say tonight, though sometimes we lay him down, we love Jesus. These children sung that, I love Jesus. surely think on those things that are above. In Romans 1 and verse 28, there were people that Paul wrote to. They didn't want to retain God. They didn't want to think about God. To them, whatever they wanted to do, that's what they wanted to do. I've got a lot of people like that today, don't we? How sad. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, you hear people saying, oh, we shouldn't be praying in public to God. We shouldn't be reading the Scriptures. We shouldn't be talking about God. Others who say, oh, you can say something about it, but that's not where our trust is. Listen, Paul said, think not as these people think. These people don't even want to think about God. Over in the Old Testament, the Bible tells us in Psalms 14 and verse 1, the fool has said, there is no God. Can you imagine that? I hope and pray I never live to see a day when my children, my grandchildren, even great-grandchildren, that I'll hear them say, I don't believe in God. What a sad thing for a man or woman, boy or girl, to make that statement, I don't believe in God. You know what God calls them? The fool that's said in his heart, there is no God. And then if you'll just jump over there a few chapters, and you'll read in Psalms 19, verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God. And the firmament showeth his handiwork. Don't you love to go out and see the sun setting down whenever you have an opportunity? Don't you love to get up about 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning and see the sun rise? Some of you are shaking your head a little bit. Don't guess you want to get up that early, do you? But I tell you what, it's a marvelous thing to get up and just see the glory of God and the beautiful, beautiful sun as it rises. And then the day, the beauty of God protecting us, giving us all these things that we have. And then, as the evening falls, kind of like life, as the curtain is being pulled, time will soon be no more for us on earth. But what a wonderful thing it is to be able to go beyond the setting of the sun, to be with the Lord. These people didn't even want to retain God in their knowledge. I love Jeremiah 29, verse 11. It talks about what God thinks and what God wants you and I to have. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. I'm going to provide for you. I love you. We were talking about Jeremiah this morning in Jeremiah chapter 42. In Jeremiah 42, remember the people asked Jeremiah to ask God what they should do. Should they go down to Egypt or stay where they are? And they made a promise to Jeremiah, and that promise was this. Jeremiah, whatever God tells you, we will believe it and we'll do it. And God spoke to them and God told them, now you stay where you are. Don't you go down to Egypt. Guess what? When Jeremiah came back and told them in chapter 43, as we read, the Bible tells us that here are those that accused Jeremiah of lying to them. They didn't believe him. They stayed there. And so many of them were destroyed. But they promised Jeremiah. Jeremiah, whatever God says, that's exactly what we'll do. Good attitude, but we will carry it out. God said, this is what I'm thinking about you. I want the best for you. Surely, we want God's thoughts. What thoughts do we think toward God? In Psalms 94, verse 11, and as I was putting these things together for this sermon tonight, what an interesting statement made in God's Word. The Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. God says man's thought. You know in Jeremiah 10, verse 23? O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It's not in man that walketh to direct his own steps. And yet man says what? I'll do it my way. I want to do it this way. How sad and how tragic. Instead of saying, remember, God is surely the one who knows us. What a fearful thought, and yet so true. In connection with the same thought, Isaiah, the great prophet of God, we studied the book of Isaiah. For I know their works and their thoughts. What does God know about you? What does God know about me? Here's what he says. I believe him. I know their works and their thoughts. It shall come that I will gather all nations and tongues, and they shall come and see my glory. God said, I'm aware of every thought in the mind of every individual. In connection with that, in Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 5, and the Spirit of the Lord fell upon me and said unto me, speak. Thus saith the Lord, thus have you said, O house of Israel, for I know the things that come into your mind. And then, here he's very specific. Not only does he know what you're thinking right now and what I'm thinking right now, God says, I know every one of them. Nothing, absolutely nothing, escapes the knowledge of God. He knows it all. Surely he is the all-knowing God. Charlie used to quote this scripture, Psalms 139, verse 2. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. God is saying something to us. What you have in your mind, it's barren, it's wide, it's open. I know it all. Think. Realizing that God is so powerful, that's further reason for us to love and fear God. And one of the passages I love from the book of Psalms, Psalms 139, verses 23 and 24. Perhaps each day, if you and I would just quote these verses together, it would help us to keep our thinking on those things that are truly what God wants us to think about. It should be our prayer constantly. Listen to him. Search me. I love my wife, Ann. I'm not saying search Ann. Search me. I love our three elders. I'm not saying the three elders. Search me. I'm talking about me. Oh, Lord, look at me. Search me, oh God, and know my heart. Test me. Try me. And know my thoughts. What? I'm saying to God, oh God, look at me. I want you to know my thoughts. I want you to know my heart. And see if there be any wicked way in me. What? If I'm doing something wrong, oh God, show me. Oh Lord, if I'm not walking with you like I ought to walk, God, please open my eyes so I can know that. Search me, know my heart. Try me, know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. A prayer for God to look at me as I am. To look at you. To look at each one of us. The Bible tells us in Matthew 12, verse 25, Jesus knew their thoughts and he said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. Every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. Jesus really knows this. There's no doubt about that. And one verse of Scripture that almost every preacher, you've heard preachers use this verse so many times. We love it, and you know why? Because it tells us something about the tremendous power of God's Word. Every word that God has spoken. Listen to it. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Stop and analyze that for a moment. When God says anything, look at how His words are described. living, powerful, sharper, piercing even the divide and asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. And it can do something else. It's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. What can God's Word do? It's powerful. It can discern the thoughts and the very intentions of the heart. A powerful verse denoting the power of God's spoken Word. And that's why the Bible tells us in 1 Peter 4, verse 11, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. Why? Because when you speak the Word of the Lord, God's Word, say what He says, and make sure you say it right, you've got something powerful to work with. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians 13, verses 11 through 13, he said, when I was a child, I spake as a child, and I understood as a child. I thought as a child. I'm afraid that some of us that are older, some of us act like children sometimes. And yet Paul says there's a time when we're to grow up. For now, he says, but when I became a man, I put away those childish things. Why? But you've learned better. You've learned now how you're supposed to act as one who is a man. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, and charity. Now these three, but the greatest of these is charity. It was then, it is now, the greatest love. Have we done that? Put away the childish things. Naaman said in the Old Testament, 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 11, when he was told by the servant of the Lord to go out and dip in the River Jordan for 7 times, and you'll be clean. But there was something wrong with Naaman. Naaman did not, he had leprosy, but he did not like what the instructions were given to him, because he did not think that is the way to bring about his cleansing. And he was mad. You ever got mad? You ever got mad at God? You ever thought maybe God was wrong about something? Look at Naaman. He's angry. He goes away and said, behold, I thought. That was his problem. That's my problem a lot of times. That's the problem with a lot of them. Behold, I thought, this is what I thought, that he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. He was finally reasoned with, began to think about it, and he went out and did what God told him to do. He was cleansed of his leprosy. He learned something. You know what? When God says something, don't argue with God. Don't try to change anything. You just do what God says. God doesn't do what we think. His way is the way. But Paul had some problems with this. Well, as a matter of fact, in Acts chapter 26 and verse 9, Paul said, I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus. Did you ever think that way about Jesus? Have I? Wanted my way and not his way? Truly, my friends, the answer to the whole problem is this. We've got to ascertain the fact that God's ways and thoughts are not ours. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. And what a thrilling declaration from God Himself. Thinking, thought of foolishness is sin, Proverbs 24, verse 9. Now here's the man's five things and the lesson is yours. Number one, will a loving God send anyone to hell? What do you think? I don't want anybody to be lost. But my friends, God doesn't either. He is not willing that a single soul perish. But what does the book say? Not what God says. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Why would God hold me responsible for refusing his words? I can't understand it, some people say. Jesus said, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words, as one that judgeth him, the same shall judge him in the last day. God's Son paid the price. It was Jesus. Boy, he did. He died there on the cross. And all he wants me to do is to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. I'm not responsible for anything else. He did it all. Yes, he paid the price. But do I think that I can just do whatever I want to do and I'm going to be all right? Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that which he hath done, whether it be good or whether it be evil. I'm not going to argue with that. That's God's thoughts. That's God's words. And it will come to pass. How many times you've heard this? I want to be with my family in eternity, and boy, I do too. This Mother's Day has really made me think a lot about my own mom. 92 years old when she died, I was sitting right next to her. Ah, friend, but what a tremendously wonderful thing it is to have that hope in your heart someday, being with her and all the saved of the earth. Well, you hear people say, and I even had this one, found out one lady made this statement. She said, I don't care what the Bible says. You know, I if my folks, if they were to go to hell, I'd want to go with them. There was a man that died. And he had brothers that were alive. And first, he was in torment. And he begged. Now, if Abraham sent Lazarus to dip his finger in water and cool his tongue. But when Abraham told him there's a great gulf, it's been said that there's nobody going across it, one to the other. You know what he was thinking about next? His brothers. His own brothers. And guess what? He was begging Abraham to send Lazarus back. Warn my brothers that my brothers do not come where I am. Powerful. I don't think there's a soul who's lost in hell that wants a soul that they loved here on this earth to be lost and come where they are. Oh, my friend, in conclusion, we hear this statement. Nobody is perfect. Jesus covers the sins of everyone. And he does. He's everyone that comes to him and obeys him. But there's a verse that the Lord gave us in Matthew 25 and verse 46. These shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto life eternal. Ah, just thinking. Our thoughts. How are we thinking? When it comes to our own souls, are you ready to meet the God of heaven? I hope you are. So many of you are so faithful. You've loved so many years the Savior. And may God bless you to be faithful to the very end. Oh, I hope I can hear Him say that day. I hope you'll be with me and we can all hear Him say, well done. All you folks over at O'Neill, friends and neighbors, those of you that have deserved me to hear Jesus say, come, you blessed my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And I guarantee you, He'll say it to us if we have used our thinking if we use our lives to serve Him. Tonight, if you're in this audience and you're not ready to meet Jesus, everybody here wants you to get ready. God does, Jesus does, and we invite you to come. Come now to the Savior. Come fall at His feet, as it were. Say, God, I'm lost without You. By believing in Jesus, repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus, and being baptized. And only you can do that for yourself. That's what I have to do. That's what you have. If you're unfaithful, then do become faithful by asking God to forgive you. And just get in there and let's just work. Let's try to bring and control the thoughts of our hearts and our minds. Let's work together. Let's serve the Lord together. Let's love each other. And guess what? We'll be happy here. And what a tremendous thing it'll be happy together in eternity forevermore. We're singing this song to invite you tonight. If you're subject in any way, won't you come and obey the Lord while together?